When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the left wing for the win. He shoots and scores. 5-4 Edmonton in overtime. Across the five, the deuce is loose. Touchdown Elks. Trade forward into the end zone.
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Ducks and Flames about to get going. Canucks and Golden Knights play each other in an hour. Second period, no score. Bruins and Predators. Wild leading the Senators 2-0. After two, Chicago has a 1-0 edge on the Islanders. Canadians lead the Panthers 3-2. Early in the third, New Jersey up 3-1 against Pittsburgh, and the Sabres lead the Capitals 3-2. The Blue Jays have some hits. They don't have any runs. They trail the Astros 1-0 in the top of the fifth, and the struggling Toronto Raptors are going to lose again. 6:51 left in the fourth quarter. Lakers leading it 119-90. I have a very simple assignment for you tonight. You have until, well, get it done by 8 o'clock because I want to read some between 7:30 and 8. Of course, the hotline is 780-496-0063, presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. This will work better as a written assignment, so you can text it in or email insidesports@630ched.com. It should be relatively simple. I want you to clarify the goalie interference rule. I just want you to write it out yourself and send it to me, and then we'll send it to the NHL and we'll get it fixed. The current rule is about 3 pages long in the rule book. It's rule number 69. There's a 69.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, 0.7, and 0.8. A couple of those have to do with coaches' challenges, and one with fines and suspensions. The rest of it is talking about things that can happen around the net. The relevant rule from last night is 69.3. If an attacking player initiates contact with a goalkeeper, incidental or otherwise, while the goalkeeper is in his crease and a goal is scored, the goal will be disallowed. That's why Ryan Nugent's Hopkins goal did not count. That was in forced correctly, but even that has an exception for rebounds and loose pucks. So I want you to simplify it. I mean, a lot of people are angry about it. A lot of people have opinions about it. Everybody's telling me how it should be. Well, tell me how it should be. In about a paragraph, so 2 to 6 sentences, normal length of a paragraph, I want you to write the goalie interference rule that clarifies everything and takes care of every possible situation that could happen in a hockey game, so we're never confused and never have to debate it. The referees can just say, that's obviously goalie interference because Brenda in Spruce Grove wrote it on Reed's show, and now that's what we use. That's all you have to do tonight. 780-496-0063. Email insidesports@630ched.com. Again, try to have them start rolling in around 7:30, 7:40, so we can go through them before 8 o'clock and figure it out. Simple? Simple. All right. He joins us every week on the show, presented by Sentinel Storage. They shoot, we store. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. Former NHL goaltender, now a broadcaster with the NHL on Rogers, is Kelly Rudy. Kelly, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Reading yourself?
I am doing very well. Pleasure to have you on the show, of course. And, I don't know if there's ever been something that is perpetually both perplexing and irritating to fans. As like we go back to the 90s goalie interference. This is, it's no good. Let's fix the rule. That's no good. Let's fix the rule. And then last night, a lot of Oilers fans don't like the rule, which quite frankly was enforced properly as I read it, rule 69.3 on the Ryan Nugent Hopkins goal. No, on
definitely
the no goal. Yeah.
Yep. So there's a lot here to discuss and unpack, and I think one of the things that makes it so frustrating for everybody, fans, broadcasters, players, coaches, everybody that has an interest in that game that night, that we still can't figure out legal and what is illegal in terms of goalie contact or interference, however it wants to be worded. And I bet, and I've been on record, Reed, saying during some of our broadcasts that I bet I'm only batting 20%, maybe 30 at best, because it's kind of open to interpretation as well, right? It shouldn't be, but it is. It's open to how you see it and how I might see it and how the officials in Toronto might see it. And we all kind of see it a little bit differently, even though, as you mentioned, last night's was a great example. It was called exactly as it should be. But we all oftentimes see those same plays and it's not called goalie interference and the goal would stand. And so that's where my confusion lies. And then it goes to a bigger question. Like, how about just incidental contact? Wouldn't that be okay? And then they throw in the word that, or the term that the goalie needs to reset. Well, how long is the normal for a goalie to reset? Like, it just, you go down one path and there's five more questions. You go down a different path and there's five more questions. And so that's why I think all of us that enjoy the game are still somewhat confused or frustrated by it.
See, and I say this to listeners all the time. They're probably sick of me hearing about it. There's a difference between a bad rule and bad rule enforcement, you know? And I think that maybe this is a rule that maybe it needs to be cleaned up. It's three pages long, and certain parts of it, if you read, you can get your head in a tizzy a little bit. Again, even though the Oilers didn't get screwed last night, everybody, like, they actually followed the rule to the letter. But that's the issue that I suppose comes up with last night, is that I think a lot of fans, not just Oilers fans, say to themselves, Zach Hyman didn't do anything aggressive or malicious towards the goaltender, so why is he punished, right? I think that's sort of the disconnect for people between what they saw and then the rule that I'm telling them that that's in the rule book.
Well, the number one thing, and I kind of have a thing with this with the NHL officials about kind of my interpretation as well. The first thing you look at, though, this is, it doesn't matter who you are. First thing you look at, is it in the blue paint? Because then that sets off the radars, right? Then that sets off the wheels in motion as to, okay, if it's in the blue paint, we definitely have to look at this and we have to think of it in this manner. What I kind of don't like is that a goalie can be at the top of the crease, or even, let's say, 2 inches outside the crease. He's set. He's in position. He's got his ice. And if there's some sort of collision there, however big or small, then it's ruled, well, it's not goalie interference because it's not in the blue paint. Well, why does it, you can interfere a player on the ice anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a particular location. You can do it in the corner. You can do it at the blue line. You can do it at center ice. You can do it in a whole bunch of different areas. Why is it exclusive, or they're trying to make it exclusive for a goalie? The only place that you can be interfered in is in the blue paint. So that adds, in my opinion, the confusion, because if I've got my ice, I don't care if I'm in blue paint or out, I should have the right to stand there.
Well, and Rob and I talked about this last night. If Binnington were outside the crease yesterday, that's a goal all day.
Right? Yes.
So they are respecting the crease to an extent, but I see what you're saying. If you're coming out to cut down an angle as a goalie, you don't expect to be bumped if you're set in your ready position.
And I'm not in motion. If I'm just there cutting down an angle and I'm set. That's my ice, right? And that is still right. Like, you couldn't trip me. You couldn't do anything else because that's my ice. And so that's what, you know, maybe I'm a little sensitive to that because I was a former goalie, and the way that we used to play, we were more aggressive when we were outside the blue paint more often when I played. And so that was my territory, sort of.
Okay. So that leads me, Kelly Rudy joining us tonight at Inside Sports. That leads me to ask you this. From your experience playing and now being a broadcaster, when did you feel interfered with? Like, I think I know you well enough that you didn't expect to be bubble wrapped and never touched. I mean, you respect the physicality of Did you actually feel interfered with?
Well, definitely when, and I know people are going to laugh, but if you're old like me and you remember the 80s and 90s and probably the 70s before, like there was full on goalie contact. The goalies were very rarely protected. So we were literally run right over. And so it had to be something incredibly egregious for there to be a goalie interference penalty, which was ridiculous. And I'm not suggesting that it goes to anywhere near that. But that's where I bring up the term incidental contact, because I don't have a problem with incidental contact. Now, there are forms of it that are extremely illegal. And I'll give you an example. So remember Glenn Anderson? I don't know if you will, Reed, but what he would do, he would skate by the goalie and tap the top part of your goalie stick, the shaft of it, so that the blade of your stick would come up off the ice. Extremely blatant. Everybody saw what would happen. And yet the officials, for some reason, didn't think that warranted enough of contact to be called a penalty. It was ridiculous. It's the most blatant form of interference for a goaltender back then. And luckily, guys don't do it very often. I think I saw one of the Tkachuk brothers do it maybe about a year ago, and it got called. But it's not something you see very often. But I'm not sure, because I think goalies are protected too much, but yet, you know, they're such an important part of the game. I don't want them to be in the situation where we were, because that was ridiculous.
Okay, so then if Kelly Rudy could somehow reword the rule book, and I'm not going to make you do that on the spot,
sure.
But would your language have allowed Nugent Hopkins' goal to stand in a perfect Kelly Rudy world?
That one, no. In fact,
okay,
that was interference to me. And you know what? And I'm not picking on him, because Hyman's a great player, and in fact, our discussion last week was about him and how much I respect him. But he does that a lot. He skates through the blue paint, and he makes contact a lot. And so the problem could be, if he doesn't change his course, that could take away potentially a game-winning or series-winning goal in a playoff series. I could definitely see that.
Okay, and then Rob and I kind of thought the Oilers were fishing a little bit on their challenge. I just think it didn't get overturned because it wasn't totally conclusive. Like, did you see what Skinner was saying? Knobloch said, "Oh, we felt he jabbed hard enough that his stick flexed," or is that just the natural process of a guy trying to tip a puck, and a goalie has to live with that to some extent?
Yeah, that one's a lot more difficult for me. I'm not sure where I stand on it completely. And so I'm going to say they had the call right, but that almost goes read into the category of where I'm only batting 20%, and that's right. Not very good. So, and I've been around the league for a long, long time. I think I get a lot of calls right, but there's a couple that I do a very poor job of.
But like I said at the start, it's one of these rules that never seems to go away. I mean, you cannot like the offside challenge, but generally you can see it black or white. Even if it's by an inch, it's onside or offside. This, as much as I think they've tried to clarify the rule, and again, last night they did, there are still things that can be confusing. So I wonder if they're still going to try to clean it up, because it's funny, Kelly, we got a caller called in last night and said, why don't they just go back to that? If your foot's in the crease, it doesn't count. And I said, well, everybody hated that too, though.
look what happened on the cup winning goal.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so that was a disaster. I think part of the problem with any sport and rules that they can be open to interpretation, like we talked about 10 minutes ago. And so when that's the situation, it might be that you see it. And I want to be very, very clear. The officials don't care who wins or loses, so they're not cheering for anybody. The situation in Toronto doesn't care who wins or loses, so they're not making calls based on the two teams or any of the players involved in any calls. But a lot of these calls just are, what did you see? How do you interpret it? What did you see? And, you know, the officials we see often, the two referees or even all four officials, depending on what they're looking at, they'll all meet maybe for puck over glass. And, you know, so all these things, you know, that's another one we could have. We could have a lengthy conversation on delay of game puck over glass read, because that's one that infuriates me. Because we've all been around the game for a long, long time. The only reason, the only way I think that should be a 2-minute penalty is when it's intentional. And trust me, all of us that have watched hockey for a long time know when it's intentional and when it's accidental. And I don't like that one at all. I think it's ridiculous. And I will say that goes back to, I hope Pete Peters, the former goalie, former guy from Edmonton, former Medicine Hat Tiger that I love and respect. But he was one of the guys that started this whole thing, delay a game, 2 minutes there for puck over glass. Because Pete, he was such a good stick handler and he could shoot the puck really well. Whenever there's any sort of sustained pressure in the Flyer zone, he would just shoot the puck into the stands. And by the way, back then, the glass was lower around the rink. So it was. It's just all this goes back, usually, and it usually does, many, many years. But Pete is the reason why, in my opinion, that rule was brought into place.
Yeah, I know you got to run, Kelly, but I'll just throw this in quickly, because I think this also goes to the debate as, do you want the referees there to just call the rule book by the book? Or do you want them to make judgment calls? Because right now, puck over glass, you don't have to think about it. It went over the glass. I don't have to worry about intent. And I was talking to Bryn Griffiths on our afternoon show, and he was kind of saying, well, Hyman didn't hit Binnington hard enough in Bryn's mind. And I said, yes, but the referee can't sit there and say, okay, did he use 60% of his body weight or 65? Because if it's 65, I'll disallow it, but 60 I'm okay with, right? So it's so muddled either way, I think.
Oh, totally. And then it goes back to discussion we had on Saturday night on our panel, and Kevin took the lead on this one. It was, I'm drawing a blank. There was a, who was a player? Nemestikov of Winnipeg. He was trying to clear the puck out of his own zone, and I can't remember the other team, and their player clipped him pretty hard, and on the ice, the call was made 5-minute major, as you know, so they can look at it and then they can take away the 5-minute major and do a 2-minute or a 4-minute. So that's what happened. And so, and then you go through that, like, why did the defenseman play it that way? Why didn't Nemestikov try and get out of the way and put himself where his head was? Like, all these, most of these rules have an interpretation to them, and it's so hard.
Kelly, not sure if we solved anything, but this was a fun chat.
No, that's right.
Okay.
I love it, Reed.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
That is Kelly Rudy. That was interesting. He is presented by Sentinel Storage. They shoot, we store. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. So he not only thinks that the rule was enforced properly last night, in his world, if he were making the rules, it wouldn't have counted. So that's his take on that, though he does think it's it needs to be clarified. So that's my challenge to you. Give me a paragraph and clarify the goalie interference rule. How hard can it be? 780-496-0063 to call or text, email insidesports@630ched.com. I'm really hoping to get some tonight because I'm very curious as to what people are going to say to clean it up. And who knows? Maybe it'll help. We'll keep you updated on the scoreboard as well. It's Inside Sports on Ched.
This report brought to you by Crystal Glass. For all your glass needs, visit crystalglass.ca.
Your home for all the news and expert opinion. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Chad.
Oh, Fozzie, pulling out a classic tonight, eh, Kellen?
Good song.
Very good song tonight. What's the lead singer again? Chris Jericho?
Yes.
It has a swear word coming up. We want to make sure we're done by then. Not a really bad swear word, but we shouldn't put it on. Yeah. Okay. So good chat with Kelly Rudy. So my challenge to you, look, if you are writing in or calling in tonight complaining about goalie interference, we are not putting that on the air. I know you're mad. I've known you're mad for 11 years of hosting the show about that and other things. That's not what we're doing tonight. Suggest a fix. How should the rule be worded in a paragraph? Do we have time for one before we go to break, Kellen?
Yeah, we got a quick one here from, where was it here? It was from, I had it.
Well, it's no longer a quick one.
It's not a quick one, no. you know what? We'll do it after the break. Sorry, man. Yeah.
All right, we'll get it after the break. Yeah, Kellen will sort out some of your texts. You can also email insidesports@630ched.com. Calgary and Anaheim underway. 7.5 minutes left in the first period. No score there.